Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Eulalie Wickham-Ashby. And today I'm deeply honored to have in the studio with me, Mr. Pero Holloway, the newly elected president of Barnard. Welcome to the program, Pero.
Thank you, Eulalie. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Okay. So, Pero, let's start by you sharing with our listeners who and what is Barnard?
Barnard is what would be considered a NGO, a non-governmental organization. And it is registered with the Corporate Affairs and Intellectual Property of Barbados as a nonprofit company. And so that's why we have the letters at the end of Barnard Inc. So it is what is considered to be a cross-disabled organization, which simply means an organization that represents all persons with disabilities, all categories of disabilities. So like other organizations who represent persons who have a similar type of disabilities, we are unique in that we represent all persons. And it is the only organization such with that kind of mandate in Barbados at this time.
Okay, so tell us now, why did you make yourself available to be the president of the organization?
Well, I will be honest and say I did have my apprehensions about making myself available at first because I know of the demands and responsibility that it takes to be a president and chairman of an organization such as this because it's a lot of work. And if you're going to do it well, it's a full-time job. A non-paying full-time job. And nobody takes on a full-time job unless they feel they have the adequate skills and, you know, time to do it. So, you know, there was a back and forth in my own mind and I talked to my close friends and they say, well, you know, Pero, we know you will do a good job because you have the skills to do it. So I decided to make myself available. So it was me deciding, well, I'm going to, you know, bite the bullet and take on the challenge, and from others who supported me in doing so, those who have the confidence in me and outside the disabled community, who felt that now is a good time for me to take up the chairmanship of the organization and move it forward.
And I heard you say, Pero, that you discussed the idea of becoming the president of the organization with your close friends. What did you say to yourself? Do you think that you have the skill set that is needed to lead an NGO such as this, Barnard, in this period with the world in such turmoil and the difficulty of accessing funding and still fighting to get the society to acknowledge that people with disabilities have full citizenship as well?
What did I tell myself? I don't ever see myself as a leader. That may come over a bit negative in that I don't sit down and say, well, you know, I have this and I have that, and therefore I should be this and I should be that. I more look at it from the point of view that I have some skills and there are persons who are confident that these skills makes me an adequate leader to lead. And I mean, they always say, self-praise is no praise. So I take my feedback from those who believe that based on what they see and know, I can do. Taking on positions such as these makes you humble. We don't want gloaters or we don't want braggers in these type of positions that where you have to have a sensitivity when dealing with individuals and persons and to have that top-down sort of concept of yourself. So I would say feedback from others, and that's how I benchmark myself, what people say based on what I do.
Okay. So now as you look around our society, what are your thoughts about what more can be done and you would like to see being done to remove some of the stigma and discriminatory practices towards citizens with disabilities?
Well, in looking around the disabled community and outside the disabled community, because we don't operate in a vacuum, we as disabled persons live within and outside the disabled community. We are coming out of a pandemic. So this is post-COVID. And some of the things that I am seeing is that organizations that represent the disabled community and organizations outside of the disabled community are struggling to restart their organizations. Restart not to suggest that organizations were dead and they're now starting back up, but restarting the momentum they would have had before 2020 and pushing the organization and their mandates forward. Because now we are operating on a different concept of organization life as it relates to advocating, whether it's funding, whether it's human rights. All those things have changed fundamentally because of COVID. And as an organization, we have to kind of restructure and do things a little bit differently. Take funding, for example. Companies are under strain and an economy that is not doing as much as it should. And that will hamper fundraising. So we can't go there with our, you know, how we used to do with our tins and stand upside the road and whatever to raise funds. You're not seeing much of that. The only organizations that still do that and do it well is like the Salvation Army, where the Red Kettle is an institution. You know, when you see that, you automatically think, well, yeah. But organizations such as Barnard and other organizations don't have the luxury or the established form of fundraising as that, that they can just pick it up every year, even outside of COVID, and raise money. So we as an organization now have to come up with different concepts and how to survive and how to move forward to meet the, you know, the ideas of what members come to want from the organization, because we are in the business of providing service for our members, whether it is emotional support, financial assistance, you know, whatever the organizations decide that they're going to do on the behalf of their members. Now we have to find different ways of doing that.
Okay, so cool. Let us now look at some of the trends that's happening in the disability sector and where would you want to see Barnard playing a role in helping to project positively the way forward for the disabled community?
Trends and the way forward. Now, one of the trends that we are seeing, and I can speak more about our organization as opposed to speaking for other organizations. One of the trends that I've been seeing is that we have a lot more young people interested in the organization. And we can have 10 programs debating why that is so. But some of the reasons I think that we're having more young people is that disability has changed for many people, and the ideology behind it is that more disabled persons want to be visible. When I was a lot younger, I didn't want to be as visible as young disabled persons want to be visible now. So that's a new trend. And, you know, things are becoming a bit more acceptable, not only for the young disabled persons themselves, but for those who accept them as young disabled people. And I think because of that, we have a lot more young people than we had probably in the whole history of Barnard. And I have to say that we are celebrating our 40th anniversary, 40 years in existence next year, pushing the organization forward. Obviously, we have to cater for our younger persons, younger ideas, younger ideologies, you know, younger way of doing things, and the organization has to meet that. So we have to speak the young language, social media, you know, all of the things that younger persons are into and making our organization attractive for these young persons, grooming them for the future. 10, 15, 20 years from now, I may not be around. And therefore, the persons that are coming into the Barnard now, 21, 29, 30, young persons. And these are the ones that will be there 30 years from now, saying on this program, you know, the ones in the past, like Pierrot, who was around 30 years ago, you know, but now we probably wouldn't know what the organization would look like. But we have to create a foundation where we foster persons who want to lead, foster persons who want to, you know, advocate, however they will do that in the future, however that would look. So those are some of the things that I think we have to start doing now to prepare for the future.
And what would you say are some of the major issues that you want to tackle during your tenure as president?
Believe it or not, I think if you asked me this question in 2019, I would have said, you know, education and jobs. Now, while those things are extremely important and the disabled community remains one of the most unemployed minority groups globally and one of the less educated, immediately what comes to mind is making sure that our members have good mental health. And I would admit that when people told me this 2-3 years ago, I would say, man, I don't even know about mental health, man. But now I really see the necessity of it. You know, we don't want to beat the old horse COVID, but COVID would have shown up a lot of what was already there as it relates to addressing the mental health of persons with disabilities, addressing the mental health period of our society on a whole. And I think that that in itself, as a new president, is one of the things that I think that this organization has to start to focus on, because you do not want an organization of too many depressed people, people who are disgruntled, people who are upset, the miserable, you know, they're complaining. And all of that stems from mental health, having a good mental balance. Yes, we do have the normal things that we all go through as a disabled community. You know, we don't have money. We need stuff. We need food. You know, people are hungry. And those needs have to be addressed. But if I am thinking positively and I have good mental health, then I approach these other things in my life a bit more better, if I can say that. Not to say that good mental health is stop people from having hungry bellies, but then I can now come along and say, well, you know, hey, let me do so-and-so and let me see if we can address your problems of basic needs. And they will say, hey, yeah, I could understand that. Only when you have a presence of good mental health, that helps to build a platform to move things forward.
Okay, so you highlighted maintaining good mental health as one of the key issues that Barnard will seek to address. Any other major ones that you would also want to approach during your tenure?
Job opportunities and educational opportunities will always be something that we put on our priority list, because, you know, you can't function without money and you can't function well if you don't have good, sound knowledge. And notice that when I say education, doesn't necessarily mean tertiary education, but it means having a sound knowledge of things that are going on around you. One of the other things that specifically with Barnard, our focus on all of us as members putting our hands to the plow. Many hands make light work. We hear that often. And that is true within the organization life. If everybody plays a little part, it makes the job a lot more easier. And I'm thinking that it's one of the things that is a little bit lacking because of many different things. But brand loyalty is something that comes to mind in terms of persons becoming a bit more narrow-minded as it relates to the organization that they are part of and really playing a part in building it. So those three things, I think once we focus on those things, including mental health, you know, those issues will not be solved in a day. But if we chip away a little bit at a time, we will definitely get there and overcoming some of these obstacles.
Good, good. So I'm thinking, Pedro, that as we pay more attention or greater detail to attention around disability, that maybe like disability in the US and Canada and the UK, maybe we need a revolutionary with our thinking, but with some of the approaches to creating the type of environment that we want to see for our citizens with disabilities.
I'm glad that you talk about revolution, because 30 years ago, when I first came into the disabled movement and I heard of some of the things that were happening, I advocated for us to go down to the parliament with some chains and padlock and chain ourselves to the parliament gate, man. Because I had a radical mind at the time and I felt this would cause a revolution. And people say, man, you get locked up, yeah? But in my mind, I felt it would have been a way to kind of jumpstart people, startle people into the idea, well, yeah, boy, these disabled people means business. And yes, I probably would have been arrested, but the Parliament gate, but they certainly went and stood up side of the road, and they, you know, with their canes and walkers and those that stayed out in the wheelchairs, and we had one person who died. Now, that made a revolution in Trinidad, and similar things would have happened in other countries throughout the world and the Caribbean. Now, we are not that kind of people. Not to say that that kind of revolutionary tactics don't work, but we're just not the kind of people who will chain ourselves to gates. But we need to have a mentality of chaining ourselves to gates in our own minds in terms of how we advocate in order to bring about the change and a revolution that we need. So I don't know what that looks like, because if your next question is to ask me, well, what's a chaining yourself to the gate mentality? I have to think more about that. But it may simply mean thinking outside the box when it comes to speaking on the rights of persons with disabilities. Maybe writing more petitions, maybe bringing some class action suits against some companies. No, I'm not advocating that any organization do this or Banner is in a situation where we're going to do anything like that. But those are definitely things that people employ in order to bring revolutions without having to go and physically do things that, you know, that jolts a situation to occur. Because the idea is that we just want traction on the things that are important to us, however you decide to do that. We can't strike because we're not a trade union. We can't withhold a service. We can't withhold votes because we don't have enough disabled persons in Barbados to withhold votes to say, well, if you don't do things for us as a minority group, we ain't going to vote for you. We don't have enough persons spread out around Barbados to cause that kind of thing to happen. So we have public sentiment and we have our voices. And that is how we would have to cause a revolution in Barbados and the Caribbean, by using our voices.
Well, I certainly can understand your thoughts, because in reading and watching lots of material around the history of the disability movement in the US and Canada, I have seen people with disabilities lying across 8-lane highways and their wheelchairs in front of them and police arresting them and so on. So I understand completely the concept of chaining yourself to the gate mentality, because I think we do need some revolutionary changes in Barbados to really give people with disabilities that platform for a better quality life. And I think sometimes people take it for granted when we speak around disability that inclusion simply means putting a ramp and not necessarily the correct gradient, you know, but inclusion is much deeper and wider than just placing a ramp or placing the grab bars. It has to be done in a real manner, a very practical manner that facilitates the person using the wheelchair, the person using the arm crutches, the person using a cane. You know, it facilitates everyone, including the elderly. So
agreed.
We do need to have lots more education campaigns to help the public to understand the needs and demands of the community of persons with disabilities. Now, Perro, you mentioned that you're seeing many more young people coming into the organization. And I know that more and more young people have an education. They're going through primary school, they're going through secondary school, and some may even go post-secondary, which is good for our community. How or what else can you propose for the younger people in the wider community who are not involved in the disabled community, who are working, who are studying, to add their voice to the advocacy of creating a better society for the disabled?
Well, Yuli, you would have kind of stated two different types of young persons. Those who are in the organization, who are here presently, and those who are outside the organization who are not inside of it presently. And you also mentioned that younger persons who are working, who are disabled, what do we do? The thing is that young persons, any person, come into an organization with a need. People generally don't join organizations who have everything going for them. And persons gravitate towards entities, NGOs, because they're coming specifically to seek something, whether it's to seek support, whether it's to seek assistance, you know, whatever. Persons outside organizations who have disabilities and are working tend less to believe that they need an organization to do anything for them, because they have those things that, one, they don't feel an organization could provide, and two, they don't feel that they have the time to play a part. And I think that's a wrong concept, because those out there who are in the disabled community working and having jobs have something to bring to the table. They're bringing skills, they're bringing knowledge, they're bringing experience that most other disabled young people just would not have. And I dare say many will not have, because we're still not there yet. We can provide employment for many, not most, many persons with disabilities. So this issue will go on for a long time. But what those persons who have access opportunities outside the groups can do is to come into the group, share their experience, and share their encouragement to those who are inside the organization who don't have those experiences and opportunities. We always talk about capacity building. Help to build the capacity of the others and motivate them, because those ones want to work too, and they want to do some of the same things that the ones on the outside will be telling them, oh, I went so-and-so, and I do so-and-so, and I have so-and-so. And that will help to catch fire, you know, in those who don't have that, and they want it too. And if they see an example of others like them doing these things, they may very well want to push themselves a bit more and do them too, you know? Because only when you look in the mirror that you can see what needs to change, you know? We can't see our own selves in anything other than a mirror, our mirror image. The young persons outside the disabled community who are working are a mirror image of the young people inside the disability movements who are not. And, you know, the mirror goes both ways. So there's something that they can bring to the table, and there's something that the ones in the organizations who don't have the opportunities can also bring to the table of those who are working. Because don't fool yourself. Sometimes we find that persons who have opportunities, you know, tend to forget what it is really like not to have those opportunities. And, you know, they have a narrow view of the reality until, unfortunately, sometimes if that reality is taken away, they can't handle it. And we have seen a lot of that happen after COVID, where, you know, non-disabled persons who lost their jobs fell apart, because for years, if not all of their life, they never knew what it was like to not have food, not being able to pay their bills. They didn't have the capacity to handle such stresses. You see a lot of it now. Suicides, people going into the mental, because they're not accustomed. They have no concept of what it means to struggle. So I'm telling those persons out there in the disabled community who have seek opportunities on their own, come and share something with the others, man, so we all can get along and grow together.
All right. Well, Perro, we have certainly had a very enriching conversation, and time is catching up with us. So share with us your thoughts on what would be your ideal situation in Barbados for the community of persons living with disabilities.
My ideal vision would be most disabled persons having jobs and filling up the tertiary institutions with persons seeking degrees and, you know, as you put it, post-secondary education, having more young persons in the disabled groups, you know, playing their part, you know, building young persons who can be leaders in the future. I think that's a lot of vision. I will stop there, because I don't think that the future can handle much more of that. But I think that's enough to really push us a bit further forward.
Well, I think the future can handle lots more of that, and we do need it to help stabilize not just our country, but our world. So definitely, yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Well, Pero, it really has been a pleasure chatting with you and hearing your thoughts, your perspectives on what more can be done for the community of persons living with disabilities, and what are some of your projections and intentions for Barnard as you lead this organization into the future. Thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you, Yudley.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudley Wickham Ashby, and my honored guest, Pero Holloway, president of Barnard. Remember, if you want to reach out to me, you can do so by calling me on 1-246-269-9660 or via STARCOM on 1-246-437-7300. And you can write me on visionsbarbados@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. And remember, you can check this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website and looking for the Visions podcast and listen back. So until next week, love yourself, love your neighbors, you love yourself, and be productive.